Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, first half, Adam Ray joins. We talk UFC and dining out, double masks, all sorts of good and funny stuff. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other. And you also have your automotive policy as well. So save money, save time, because Geico makes it easy to bundle that homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. You go to geico.com, you get a quote, you see just how much you could save. Geico makes it Geico easy. Visit geico.com, do it today, get your bundle going at geico.com.
Back inside the toolbox from Long Beach to Ladera Heights, between the stop signs and the traffic lights, down the block and around the clock, playing all the hits that you forgot. Coming up, I got lunch for two at Olive Garden. As long as you can find a friend who'll eat there with you. Olive Garden, when you're here, well, you're already here, you might as well eat. Hope you enjoyed your Valentine's Day. Roses are red and violets are blue, but we all know that ain't true. Violets are violet. We're in the middle of the Jam Band Grand Slam with a band known simply as The Band. Rick Danko up front singing about stage fright. That's what sometimes happens when you pee next to a friend. Get up and get off, you're inside the toolbox.
Now deep in the heart of a lonely kid, he suffered so much for what he did. They gave this ball boy his fortune and fame. Since that day he ain't been the same. Stage fright, just standing up there to give it all his might. And he got caught in the spotlight.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from Young Rock on NBC, Adam Ray. With Gina Grad on news. And now, for Valentine's Day, he got you all a dozen years of podcasting. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The truth again, I managed to get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And, oh, Bald Brian. So, Bald Brian and Chris are out of town.
They've romantically absconded together.
Right. So, we're doing the show with Gina, and Gary's stepping in as the producer. And then Adam Ray should be joining us momentarily. So, we'll tell you when he pops up, or you'll know when he pops up. Have a couple things to get into that Gina and I can discuss, because you don't need any expertise. It's a UFC question. About UFC. You don't need any UFC expertise.
Good.
So I'm curious. First things first. I was watching UFC the other night, and when there's two guys and I don't know either one of the guys, I usually just kind of root for the underdog.
Right.
But if the fight's kind of even and that there is no real pronounced underdog, Then I root for the guy with the least tattoos.
Tattoos, yeah.
Right. But now, there's another part of this I forgot about, which is if one guy is kind of jacked, I mean muscular and ripped right. and defined, and the other guy's kind of smooth, then I root for the dad bod guy.
Oh, as like you, like a relatable UFC fighter, or
it's satisfying like, for the other smooth guys, such as myself, right. to watch the smooth guy whoop ass on right. the jacked guy.
And that's how it used to be, right? In days of yore, you know, the, I don't know, 40s, 50s, the guys weren't yoked. They didn't have that kind of definition anyway. They were barrel-chested, and that was about it.
Well, there were guys back in, like, the 70s, which now seems weird to be 50 years old, like in the Muhammad Ali era. There were guys that were really specimens, like guys like Ken Norton. But the Muhammad Ali's who are kind of smooth, kind of got, right. kind of still got the best of them. So now, but here's the question, Gina Grad.
Yeah.
I found myself at a crossroads because the jacked guy only had one tattoo. The smooth guy had a ton of tattoos.
Yeah.
Now I got to figure out where my allegiance lie. Do I root for the tattooed guy because he's smooth, or do I root for the jacked guy because he doesn't have tattoos? And then I realized I had to kind of proclaim a winner. Like, I mean, I had to go one direction or the other.
Can I guess?
Go ahead.
I think when it comes down to it, the less tattoos wins out because only the reason that if you're rooting for the smoother guy because he's easier to identify with, you don't identify at all with Mr. Body Modification. Mm-hmm. So you got to go with the guy with less tattoos. And you ultimately, you respect that guy's work ethic more because he's more rippled and you can see the work and literally the pain and sweat he's put into that body. I think you go with the muscular guy with less tattoos.
But the thing about the body is at that level, both, you know, seasoned UFC fighters, they both train real hard. One guy right. just has that body.
Right. But you don't but you do not relate in any way to the tattoo guy.
I know, but here's the problem. I didn't declare a major. I just sat there and the big muscular guy just stomped across the ring, threw the tattooed smooth guy down on the ground and immediately got on top of him and started working him. And I immediately found myself rooting for the tattoo guy because the big ogre guy walked right. across. Either way, the smooth tattoo guy ended up whooping the guy in the
really?
Second round. Yeah, there's such a disconnect. Hey, Gary, I think it was...
Is it the main event?
No, I think it was the last prelim.
Okay.
The main event, both guys were yoked.
Yeah.
The last of the prelims, like middleweight, 170-pound, whatever, there is no direct correlation between the crazy physical specimens and excelling in almost any sport. It's so weird, right?
Because they have the glamour muscles. They're indicating to us that they should best anyone that gets in their way.
And also, we are poisoned by Hollywood because yes. that's all we see is when, you know, Hugh Jackman's got to get in the role of Wolverine. You know, they just get all jacked up and cut up and we're so used to it. But if you say, look no further than Tom Brady, but it works the same with the UFC. Now, there are yoked guys who win.
Oh, sure.
But, I mean, that's going to happen. But it just, there is no direct correlation.
No, and you know what? I am willing to totally believe that. And allow me to shit on my own point. And really, when they say that you have one finger pointing at somebody else, you got four, well, or at least three pointing back at you. How dare I suggest that who looks better is the healthiest, because we see examples every day, especially in women, of, well, just because you're not, you know, walking down a runway doesn't mean A, you're not trying your fucking best, and B, that you're not really healthy. It's, but you're right. We have been brainwashed to think this means good, this means bad, and never the twain shall meet.
To me, if you, we have the two guys up now.
Oh, wow.
The one guy, Rodolfo Vieira, is just an Adonis. And the other guy, Anthony Hernandez. It's also funny because culturally, the Latin guys are smoother than a lot of the Brazilian guys and stuff like that. But they move with a kind of fluidity, and they're even more effective. And never underestimate athleticism.
I'm sorry, you said Hernandez won?
Yes, he whooped him.
You know what? Now I'm going to take my profiling and go another way. He looks angrier because of the tattoos. So I'm not surprised that he won.
The I got another UFC question for you, Gina Grant.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of women fighting in the UFC these days.
Yeah.
Dana White said 10 years ago, there'll never be a woman fighting in the UFC. Now, it's tons of women fighting in the UFC. I don't like watching women fight as much as I like watching men fight for maybe two reasons. One is I don't like women getting punched in the face. I just don't.
Even by other women.
Yeah, I just don't enjoy watching them getting punched in the face, number one. And then number two, I don't enjoy it, Gary.
No, I'm saying even by other women was a weird comment.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
What? Was it really? That doesn't even it out?
It's not as weird when a guy hits a woman in the face. It's even as weird.
I suppose if, like, Ike Turner entered the octagon,
that's
it would bump me even more.
That's what I'm saying.
You're right, Gina.
Yeah.
But no.
As Brian would say, it's a rape gone wrong.
Also, but, and, you know, the skill level's coming up a lot, but it's not quite as high as the guys. It's much more satisfying than watching, you know, women's college basketball or something where you just would rather watch the pros or the dudes. But here's the question. They have the ring girls. Mm-hmm. And the ring girls are always out there in between every fight, in between every round. It's weird to see the hot chick out there with the two chicks sitting on their benches. In their sitting on their stools in the octagon, should there be ring dudes for the chick fights?
Interesting.
Should we have some gay guy who's ripped up out there in the tight, you know, Euro kind of bathing suit doing his stuff?
I hear you, but I have a definitive answer on that, and the answer is no, because. Two reasons. The biggest reason is the ring girl isn't there for the fighters. She's there for the 10,000 people, you know, screaming. And, you know, so I don't think the dudes want to see the dude and his, ball huggers, you know, walking around. So it's not for them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's kind of cool. I think in a way, I mean, this is just off the top of my head because I've never been to a fight with women, except on Passover. But, I think it makes the women look even more badass when you see the bikini girl in between them. That stark contrast is even more kind of electrifying.
Mm. Yeah. Adam Reyes joining us. We'll let him join this conversation. Gary says there are fighting associations that do have dude ring guys for the girl fights.
It's a recent thing, but yeah, it's something that's happened in the past year or two.
But it's for the audience. The audience doesn't want to see that. They're already seeing that with the guys fighting.
Well, I got two things that are going to ruin everyone's life in a second.
Right.
Adam Ray is here. Adam Ray's got a TV show coming out, premieres tomorrow, NBC.
Yeah.
That is Young Rock. So
Peacock.
Adam plays.
The Peacock.
Not to be confused. Well, yeah, not to be confused with the Peacock streaming service, but the original cock, I guess, as NBC have been saying.
All right. I'm going to ruin everyone's life. Okay.
I'm prepared.
Because here's all you really need to know about life. You ready, Gina?
Yeah.
Adam, tell me if you agree or disagree.
This is why I logged on.
Let's talk. Let's go right back to the octagon. Ladies fighting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not talking about heavyweight division. Most of the women fight at, you know, 125, 130, 135, a very, very fit weight. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
The... two women who were in the octagon, who may be in their late 20s, have spent more than a decade dedicating their lives to mixed martial arts. Many of them got involved with jiu-jitsu when they were 11,
sure.
You know,
yep.
And they spend every single day at a training facility doing that thing with the double rope. I don't know who figured out that move with the double rope. I think the Association of America went, you know,
big rope.
Yachting ain't what it used to be. We're not moving as much rope. There's no hangings anymore. We need to move rope. How do we move rope? People have.
And it would be nice if we could destroy someone's lumbar while we did it.
Yeah, like somebody just went, at some point people went, oh, we don't need rope. We have chains and we have cable. They're both stronger and easier to deal with. And then somebody went, what if we invented a crazy exercise where we just sold every gym in America 200 feet of our rope?
Fat kids in PE classes were starting to finally, like, you know, crawl out of the entanglement. And so I think even a lot of schools were like, we don't need to be buying these anymore. We can buy SCAR and that will fill the time.
I was going to say, it's interesting. They took the rope that used to hang from the gym that the fat kids could no longer get up, and they just took them down and they put them horizontally and they just, hey, fatty, you can do this, can't you?
By the way, I'll speak for the fatties. I could not do either. Getting up the rope was a challenge in and of itself. And by the way, shout out to the PE teachers that gave you that little extra boost. And no, it's not, you know, I don't want to hear any of the teachers. Well, then you're touching the kid's ass, but you're boosting his self-esteem. So pick a lane.
Yes. Yeah. And don't take the center lane when you're boosting his self-esteem by putting your hand on his ass. Stay away from the divider. You go either. Right.
Wait a minute.
The don't go center to
lane. The center lane is a great. I mean, if for the guys out there that are looking to hook up on Valentine's Day, I'm sorry, or who were looking to hook up. If you're a guy and you're looking to make a first impression, calling a girl's taint / butthole the center lane. Probably not a good idea.
Yeah, but it's a nice.
Well, it's better than taint / butthole.
That's true.
And I'd rather someone refer to my center lane.
Well, Gina, you had a better upbringing than most.
It's a nice euphemism for wanting anal sex. You know, like, honey, I'd like to park in the center lane tonight.
And then the woman's like, nope, pull over to the shoulder. Nope. If it steers, it clears.
You're like, but I put on my blinker. Okay, I don't even know what you're talking about anymore.
All right, spent too much time in the handicap. Parking. Handicap, I guess, is you getting blown on the toilet. I don't know. We'll work this out.
Well, that's actually called a blumpkin, but go ahead.
Yeah, it is. We'll come back to this. Yeah.
Well, so here's the thing. By the way, getting blown on the toilet, I need to know whether the lid is up or down. Because if you're sitting on top of the lid, that's fine. That just means you're in an airplane. Or, you know, the kids are in the next room. But if the lid is up and you're on the toilet, now we're in a whole different hemisphere here.
Sure. Well, I'll take this one, Adam. I think most blumpkins start, okay. First of all, the word blumpkin comes from, a lot of people are like, well, is that a blowjob from a pumpkin? Well, that's what a lot of people think, but that's impossible because a blowjob doesn't know how to perform. Look, every other week I spend time trying to teach kids how to perform sexual acts to get ahead, okay? Because, look, we can all do better. We can all try harder. We can all grab the shaft in a different part. So, look, when I was 11 years old, I picked up the bass clarinet, and I decided myself I was going to do one thing by the time I was 60, get a blumpkin. And when you get a blumpkin, Adam, you said you're sitting down because it isn't on the, it's a relax. It's like you ever sit down in the recliner and you pull that lever and you lean all the way back and you go, oh yeah. And you put the bowl of Doritos right on your belly. Yeah. That's what a blumpkin feels like. Mm. Now I haven't had one personally in the last 48 hours, but I will tell you this much. It's the equivalent of being a fat kid climbing a rope, getting to the top, ringing the bell, and then sliding all the way down and just landing right on your teacher's head and then accusing him of sexual assault, getting him fired, and then you get to become principal. We'll be right back.
Dr. Phil. All right. So here's the statement that is going to ruin everyone's life.
Can't wait.
But it's all you need to know about life. It's really all you need to know. We're talking about bodies and physiques and working out and all this kind of stuff. The women who fight at 130 pounds have spent 15 years without missing more than 2 days of an intense workout. Like I said, the jiu-jitsu starts in the third grade. And then every single day leading up the fight was the double rope, you know, shimmy, was sparring, was, you know, weight training. And then now mixed with an intense diet and then cutting weight and putting on the hefty bag and sitting in the sauna and like drop cutting weight and a whole nine yards. Those are what the two people who are sitting on the stool in between the rounds have done to get to that point. The ring girl who walks between them, same age, probably the same weight, has done nothing but blow Arab guys and vomit after they ate too much funnel cake. She looks better in her goddamn bathing suit than these two who have dedicated their life to working out. Literally dedicated their life to working out. The most intense workouts ever is a UFC fighter. And if you took your average ring girl and your average two opponents in a female UFC fight, you put all three of them across on any given fight, 99 times out of 100, every dude in America would pick the ring girl to take home. That is sad.
It's very sad. Is it also because the men don't like those the cornrow ponytail that all the women have to put their hair in to fight and get punched in the face?
No, it's pure genetics. It's just pure genetics. There's nothing better than a genetic hand. All the ring girls, that's all genetic.
Yeah.
The other and the ring girls, they're too hot to fight. They're not gonna bust that little Barbie nose of theirs.
Not the moneymaker.
Right. So Gina pointed to her vagina when she said, not the moneymaker. So the other girls.
As well she should.
But the point is this. You know, next time there's some chick and she's in her bathing suit and she looks great by the pool and everyone wants to know what her secret is and she starts blabbing on about jicama, fuck that. Fuck that. It's genetic, man. It's how they look. It's your shape. It's how. And the ring girls are all selected for their shape. They all look fantastic. And it's not even a thing where it's like, well, the women are 200 pounds and the ring girls are 130. They're all the same size.
Yeah.
The ring girl does probably next to nothing in the workout department, is probably a, like I said, steady diet of Taco Bell and booger sugar. And the other chicks do nothing but eat chicken breast and work out with that double rope thing. And yet, aesthetically, at least the way we've shaped our society,
sure,
we prefer the ring girl.
Well, I think we've, as a society, decided that no guy wants to hear a girl go, hey, do you want to peck fuck my tits? And that is just something we decided as a society. I think in 94, I think it was when the Winter Olympics were happening. Mm. It got overshadowed by the Kerrigan-Harding scandal. But it was, look, I have seen a couple of these bodybuilding competitions live. Nate Bargatze and I did a show in Mesa, Arizona once at a venue that was a giant theater in Mesa. Yeah, sorry to brag, but we were at this venue, this big theater, and our show was in one end of it, and the other end was the bodybuilding competition. And so we shared a hallway, almost like just some backstage circus, and we're walking around and, you know, chumming it up with some of the athletes, performers, do-gooders. They're trying real hard and they have hit the peak of physique. And I remember one of the gals walked by and she was like, so what are you guys doing here? And I was like, oh, I'm in the competition. And she goes, no, you're not. And I was like, well, yeah, obviously that was a joke. I'm clearly dressed like a guy who would jerk off at the competition. But definitely not in it. And then we started kind of getting to know some of their routines. And it's exactly what you said, Ad, like so strict, but also addicted to the workouts is what a lot of them. That was the common thing, was They love it for the performing, being on stage, all the accolades that come with it, maybe the trophies or the Uber pools you get to share. But they were all addicted to like the just the look. You know, one of them at one point, I go, what do you love about it? And she goes,
oh,
she just and what I'm doing right now is I'm flexing my center lane.
The crab.
Oh, that's the crab move.
Yeah.
I thought you said she took a crap. I was like, you know, I don't know. I wasn't looking down there. But no, she flexed. She did the crab. She did both tries and buys. And she goes, what do you, and she just did that. And there was silence. And she's like, and I go, oh yeah, that's pretty awesome. And it was, I guess, just like you said, I was like, all right, I don't know. I don't know if I'm paying to see that, but.
Was moving through the hallway like going through a vertical slip and slide with all the banana boat oil and the dark tanner?
Oh, so much BB oil. It was like a giant slip and slide for body parts and just all sorts of taints and abs just rolling around. They all are so professional backstage too. Like it's not like a comedy club green room, obviously. They're not chumming it up. They're just like lathering. And the small talk is just like almost like under the breath pump up stuff. Like, yeah, look at that. Look at that. Oh yeah. Somebody worked their pecs extra hard today. Oh yeah. Oops. Sorry. I'm going to get a little nip flip right there. Yep. And look at those. And you're just like, God, these just get it over with, go fuck. And then go out on stage.
As far as the green room versus backstage, green room of the Comedy Club, probably many more stuffed potato skins consumed at the Comedy Club for sure than backstage at 1,000%. And also the thing about the UFC is, you know, when people go like, well, men don't like those big muscular UFC fighters. They're not big and muscular. A lot of those ladies are smooth and 130 pounds. It's just the ring girls still look better in a fucking bikini. It's sad. Yeah. What I'm saying is don't bother trying. That's the message.
This is like a almost like a verbal Rorschach test, because you couch this by saying our lives are about to be destroyed. I feel 10% better.
Total vindication.
Than when we started this. I feel great.
There's
nothing I can do about it.
Don't get fat. That's about it. You can't change your shape. Just don't get fat. If you don't believe my genetics, you can't change your shape. You really have to just look at one part of the human anatomy, and that is calves. There's skinny calves. There's muscular calves. There's the calves. Yeah. There's the cankly calves. You know, see those women at the mall where the calf goes all the way down to the ankle. There's nothing they're going to do about it. There's nothing they did to deserve it. But by the same token, the ones with the skinny, angular, nice high calves, nothing. And guys that have been like playing, you take a guy like, I don't know, Jerry Rice. That guy's run more fucking gassers, more wind sprints, run up more sand dunes than anything. And you could take some dude. I could go to the Home Depot 100 yards from now, 100 yards from here. I could go to the Home Depot. I could find a day laborer who's waiting in the day labor bullpen and find three guys who had better calves than Jerry Rice.
Ace man.
Yeah.
Sad.
Sorry to interrupt, but because Brian's not here, I would be remiss if I didn't share this that he tweeted to you recently. This is calf porn that Brian saw on Twitter. This tennis player with amazing calves.
Wow.
Yeah. And why would a tennis player have amazing calves? He just does.
He would say, if you said to the guy with amazing calves, where'd you get those amazing calves? He'd say, well, I've been playing tennis since I was nine. But then I can show you 100 tennis players who were playing tennis since they were nine and don't have those calves.
Another great example of that, anecdotally, my uncle, Gary, who's just kind of, and I haven't seen him in years, but just kind of a big teddy bear kind of guy, not a weightlifter, nothing like that. But when we were kids, we always loved, he had these random big Popeye muscles that go from the wrist to the elbow.
Yeah.
Not from the elbow to the shoulder, a bicep, just these big Popeye muscles. And we just thought they were so cool. Where he got them, who knows? No else in the family has them, but I've never seen that on a real live human, not in cartoon form before. So that just came from nowhere.
Well, if season two of Young Rock gets a pickup, you know, I'm playing Vince McMahon. And for this first season, I am, you know, I'm in enough shape of big shoulders. I got a trainer for a month and a half to get some bigger delts and some better arms. And, you know, for the episodes I got, it works. Now, let's talk later seasons. Popeye arms, Popeye shoulders, Popeye back,
Popeye
cock. Everything's going to need to be upgraded. So, do I shoot up? Do I take HGH? These are the things we're going to have to discuss. Maybe the show can help me figure out a game plan. But I would love to get in touch with Uncle P, Gina, and see what, because the wrist, you said it was wrist to the elbow?
Yeah, it's wrist to elbow. It's, what is that muscle? Is it even a muscle?
Forearm.
Forearm. It's like half of the arm.
Yeah. Totally.
Forearm.
Yes.
It some really guys is. Have that crazy with the big veins and the big ball that's in there, and then
I think with Vince, he did a lot of the you know, the stress
the stress ball, or
there's a little not a joystick, the
they almost look like pliers.
Yeah. So exactly, yeah,
the little spring loaded ones that they.
I guess
sell
he just always had that at his desk and was just pumping away, and so that'll definitely get you some definition, but there's got to be other things contributing to the giant veiny.
I will have probably God's assistance. But I'll tell you, as long as we're on this, I'll tell you about Crossropes. Staying motivated, easier when you do it together. February is American Heart Month, so join the 90,000 fitness enthusiasts on the journey to get fit, feel good with Crossrope. And they have We Have Heart Jump Rope Challenge. Crossrope, patented jump rope system, combines low-impact cardio with full-body resistance training to help you keep your heart and body healthy. I use one of these things. Using a jump rope is good. It's good for rhythm. It's good for hand-eye coordination and all that kind of stuff. But using the cross rope, the weighted rope, is better because you get the weight workout and the rhythm and the cardio. Durable steel ropes, ergonomic handles, and they have a fast clip system so you can swap out the different weighted ropes fast. 60-day risk-free money-back guarantee with Crossrope. Right, Dawson?
Keep your fitness journey going strong through American Heart Month with Crossrope. For a limited time, save up to $40 on Crossrope's most popular jump rope fitness bundle, the Get Fit Bundle, by going to crossrope.com/Adam. It's up to $40 off a Get Fit Bundle at crossrope.com/Adam, ADAM.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Adam Ray right after this.
Corolla Drinks fans, 2021 has arrived, and our mission from here on out is to make up for the miserable year that was 2020. The Corolla Family Barbecue was canceled, Mangria bar crawls were off the table, and any and all new products we wanted to roll out were put on hold. This year, that all changes. Case Club members from last year can look forward to a better Corolla Family Barbecue with more food, more booze, and more special musical guests. Plus, a signed bottle of Adam's new whiskey, 818 Rye. The barbecue is sold out. But if you decide to stay in this most exclusive club, or you're a first-time buyer, we're happy to announce the Mangria Bar Crawl is back. That's right. The Friday before the barbecue will be packed with buses, booze, Lynette, and your favorite lackeys. This Corolla family weekend will be one you'll never forget. For the 3 and 6-pack tiers, we've got you covered. Along with your shipment, you'll receive a New Year Fixed Everything t-shirt featuring Adam amongst the rubble of the City of Angels. For more info on 818 Rye and the Wine Club tiers, head to CorollaDrinks.com and help us make 2021 a year to remember. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Adam Carolla, Gina Ball, Tim from Phoenix, second time calling in. So inspired by listening to one of your podcasts about the Love Boat, I watched an entire episode on YouTube, and I was treated to the wonderful experience of having the dad from Brady Bunch, Loretta Swit, Hot Lips from MASH, Christy McNichol and Scott Baio all starring in an episode from 1977. Absolutely loved it. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Adam Ray is with us. Young Rock's the name of his show. We have stuff to talk about. We also have the Rotten Tomatoes game to play. switching gears to masking and COVID. So I had this experience yesterday. I took my son out to breakfast. A couple things. First is you have to eat out in the fucking parking lot. And the parking lot is not level. This particular place we go to, it's up on Foothill, and it's sloped down. So your fucking table looks like the the haunted shack from Knott's Berry Farm. You know, the fucking plates like sliding off. It's like eating at sea during a storm, basically, is how I would describe it. So it's like it's tilting hard one way, it's down the other.
It's listing.
Yes. Then you're sitting outside. And it's cold outside. So you order the scrambled eggs and the hash browns and the whatever, and the plate arrives. But 10 minutes later, the fucking shit's cold because it is cold. The air is cold. But with all that aside, we had the a table next to ours was two couples. So there's four people. And I was looking at them, and they all sat down, and they were all double masked. They masked. They had the double mask. All four of them had the double mask. So, you know, after me and my son got done making fun of them, you know, quietly. But I'm trying to poison the boy. So we're making fun of them. And I was just watching them. And they're all just sitting there. They're double masked. And they're there for about 20 minutes. But then the food shows up and all the masks disappear. And the next hour, they spend sitting there chomping down on food, talking to one another with zero masks. And I thought, I don't know. I'm not sure what kind of science this is. Like, what if you had a motorcycle and you went, well, I wear a helmet on the first mile, then I take it off and I ride the next 2 miles without the helmet. Then the helmet goes back on again. Like, oh, maybe it's better than never owning a helmet, but I don't know if it's that much better.
No, look, if they don't kept the wear mask, it. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, I'm just saying if they keep the mask on the whole time, sure, great. But this is security theater. This is that goes under that umbrella.
Do you guys agree with this rule, which is if you go to a restaurant and you're double masked, when the food shows up, you're only allowed to remove one of the masks. You must eat through the second. That sounds fair.
That's what I thought they were going to do. I mean, what's the point of the second mask is to have a pre-cut hole so that when you take it off, it's almost like, look, if we're going to equate this to like wrapping up before intercourse, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, look, just to let you know, to make you feel safe, and you say this at dinner, you're like, I'm wearing two condoms. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I literally just asked you if you want a dessert. And he's like, I know, but I feel like I could pick up on what you were putting down. I'm wearing two. But if at any point during this first time we make love, you're feeling so into it that you're like, you know what? I would love to start a life with you. I'd love to start a family tonight. I will pull off that first one. There's a second one there still for your comfort and safety, but there's a hole cut out. And is that now? Look, that metaphor sounded better in my head, and this is probably something we can edit out. But I think if you're going to wear two, yeah, you can't just pull them both off and then go back to normal. By the way, wearing two is already saying that you, I guess, care more than most people. So then that means you need to, I don't know, double mask it. That means either keep it on the whole time or you just have, maybe that says you're better at eating around the mask. Like you pull down just a little sliver and you're good at just shoving, or maybe you take turns talking and eating. I feel like there should be more of a game plan if you're coming with two masks. But if you're just going to act like a one mask person.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
I mean, I understand at a bar, you could keep the mask on and just use a crazy straw and get it around that.
Yeah.
You know, that. But food, yeah, you got to puree it or we can't help you.
The other one I was laughing about, which was I see people oftentimes driving alone with the mask on. Right. And I don't know. I've
not recommended.
Said it before, driving alone with the mask on or walking alone on the beach with the mask on. I don't know who the bigger douche or piece of fucking bigger pussy is, but okay. They're both fucking dudes I could never hang with. But you know what the answer is? The number one answer of why would you ever wear your mask in your car alone? you know, I'm not saying if you're an Uber driver, I'm just saying wearing the mask alone in a car, why would you do that? And the number one answer is it's just habit. Like, so I don't forget. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't forget when I get out of the car. And I was like, okay, so
right.
Before you leave the house, do you shove a bunch of toilet paper down the back of your pants so you remember to wipe your ass if you have to take a shit? Like, and
how don't answer that.
How does it work with your sunglasses? Like, do you keep those on at night because at some point the sun will rise and I don't want to forget to put them on? Like, I feel like you could remember the mask. I don't know that it needs to be built into your muscle memory that way.
Yeah. Well, and I do a lot of walking around your old neighborhood. And oh, Adam, by the way, I forgot to tell you, the John's got a total facelift. It looks like a Whole Foods now.
The supermarket.
On the outside. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The John's looks fancy all of a sudden. So I forgot to take a picture for you, but I will.
But wait, the John's? Is this in competition with Vons?
No, not by a damn sight. I feel like John's bought Vons and then cheaped out and just changed one letter on the sign. Am I right about that?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's always, like a low-end Vons.
There's nothing better than when you see the sign and the ONS is sunblasted and faded from the 70s and the J is brand new and glistening.
Right, fire engine red.
That. Yes.
I love also when businesses just can't afford all the consonants in the marquee. Like, there was a strip club I once went to for my buddy's 21st in Vegas, an hour and a half away from the strip, called the Pussycat, but the P and the C were burnt out. So we went to the Ussiat that night. And you're probably wondering, hey, what sort of performers are at the Ussiat? Oh, I don't know. Just go to Walmart at midnight in Kansas City and just take a gander. That's who's there.
That sends a shiver down my spine.
But what's going on with John's?
So I'm walking past the John's, got a great facelift, take pictures. But the new waving to your neighbors, the new like, hi, how are you? Where you just kind of do it and you don't realize it, is you wear your mask around your chin. And then as you pass someone, you kind of pull it up, give them a nod, and then you pull it back down. That's what we, the people in the neighborhood, do while they're out walking their dogs or strolling around. You just kind of let your mask dangle, or you wear it like the chin diaper, and then you see someone, hi, how are you, put it up, okay, hi, how are you, and put it back down. That's the new courtesy thing to do.
I had some thought. You awoken thoughts, Gina, in my head, which is anyone who's enjoyed the movie Cruising with Al Pacino knows that, you know, the brown bandana in the left pocket means one thing and the blue bandana in the front pocket means another thing. I wonder how long before the gay population is going to co-opt this mask thing. You know, around the chin means you're a blowjob guy. Double masker means, you know, you like a rusty trombone. You know, there's got to be some moves as they pass each other.
Yeah.
Face shield sends a mixed message. Like, I feel like on one hand it sends, I do like blowing dudes. On the other hand, I want protection, you know, when the end is near.
Yeah, this is, I'm prepared for bukkake.
Yes.
Don't get that drop.
I'm prepared for bukkake. Yeah.
Did somebody say bukkake?
Oh, is it wait a minute, Al Pacino?
Is it Al Pacino?
Hoo-ah!
Out in the Serengeti?
I don't know what's
all
behind it.
All right! I had an early checkout at the Holiday Inn Express. Hoo-ah!
Do you remember that movie?
I'd go out to Africa. Hoo-ah!
Do you remember making that movie Cruising where you played a cop who had to infiltrate the gay community in New York and become part of the scene? So that, Gina, you don't look like you remember this one either.
I don't, but I'm intrigued. It sounds like something I would love.
There was like a weird, hardcore, gay cop movie starring Al Pacino from like 1980.
Hoo-ah.
He's like wearing leather and he's coming and he's like, he's an undercover cop and there's somebody killing gay men, you know, some gay serial killer.
Right.
And, you know, he's having to pretend he's gay and make out with dudes and talk about hips or lips, buddy. When he's
hips
going,
or lips. Put your hands behind your back and your other hand on my lower back. Hoo-ah.
There, yeah,
looks like it's on Amazon Prime for $3.99.
Affordable.
Yeah, Pacino, they were targeting the leather scene. There was the leather scene. The gay,
yeah, like the rough trade stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. Let me tell you why I wouldn't be into the leather scene if I was gay.
Go ahead.
You put on some leather underwear, then you put on some leather chaps, then you put on a suede vest, and you get a leather dicky turtleneck. Mm-hmm. Then you go out onto the dance floor and you fucking dance the night away, and then I got to take you back next to the dumpster and blow you after that? No.
Not
you know
interested.
What you know what a man's sack smells like after a long night of dancing in leather?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
No, Al, that's no, it's not. It's not good.
Hoo-ah.
You know, yeah, it's not good. You want something that breathes. You know what I mean? You want to air it out down there.
Yeah,
my bad.
Yeah, you're bad.
A nice organic Pima cotton, maybe.
Yeah, or maybe some dolphin shorts with no underwear.
Right.
You know, something.
This goes perfectly with my new pandemic business model. I'm launching today at Rite Aid, $5.99. Al Pacino ball wipes. All right.
Gary, read the byline for cruising as it is on, like, I don't know, IMDb or something, or maybe Gene will find it. But
I'll give you the synopsis.
This is 1980, by the way. This movie is 40 years old. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead. Wait. Al, you want to give us a synopsis?
I mean, sure. I've made a lot of movies, so I don't remember all the plots of all of them. Mm-hmm. But this one was a young psychopath becomes a cop in Brooklyn, New York City. Hoo-ha. Finds a gay guy at an IHOP. Sucks him off and joins the force. The end. Hoo-ha.
Oh.
No.
So there's a twist.
That's not what I have here.
Well, what do you have,
Gary?
A psychopath is scouring New York City gay clubs and viciously slaying homosexuals. Detective Steve Burns, played by Al Pacino, is ordered to don leather attire, hang at the city's S&M joints, and keep an eye out for the killer. But as Steve becomes immersed in club hopping, he begins to identify with the subculture more than he expected. Meanwhile, Steve behaves distantly around his girlfriend Nancy. The police force's homophobia becomes apparent, and the killer remains at large.
That's what I said. Hoo-ha.
And Karen Allen is the girlfriend.
Yeah, that's Nancy.
Al?
And Paul Sorvino's in this. William Friedkin directed it from The Exorcist.
It's a great cast.
Sounds like it.
So, Al, you're at this stage, you know, you're 40 years old and you start becoming gay because you go undercover?
Everyone's a little gay at 40.
I didn't know that.
That's my new coffee table book you can buy also at Rite Aid with Al Pacino's ball wipes. Hoo-ah.
Al was exactly 40 years old when he did the movie. Well, look at me.
I've done a lot before then.
No, I get it. No,
time to make a career change. Hoo-ah.
Yeah, you got Dog Day Afternoon where you play a bank robber, I guess. And then there's Serpico where you play another cop. Who has to go undercover. Mm-hmm. Right.
I played a blind guy.
Oh, yeah. That was after this.
Scent of a woman.
But this is kind of interesting because it's kind of a weird pitch for a movie. It's like you got this middle-aged cop with his hot girlfriend, and he has to go undercover and go into the leather scene, the gay leather scene, and it's like, and he starts to become kind of gay.
It sounds like, if you were just giving me the premise, it sounds like a bad screwball comedy from, like, the late 90s.
And, true, we think all these movements, like, you know, all the gay lesbian stuff and all this progressive whatever, we think this stuff's all 10 minutes old. This is from 1980.
Hoo-ah.
This is 41 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's been around for a while.
It was ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got the Rotten Tomatoes Valentine's Day edition coming up, so that ought to be fun. What the hell was I talking about? Oh, let's see. I got one more thing I want to get into.
It shouldn't be funny when Adam transitions back to Adam, but it is.
let's see. We got we'll talk about. You got some people getting canceled in the news, Gina.
Oh,
we can
yeah.
get into. I got a lot of thoughts on that.
Possibly the most meta way so far.
I was watching CNN over the weekend, and I saw the White House reporter like standing in front of the lawn, and I saw all of these candy hearts behind him. And love, strength, family, unity, kindness, healing. I think there's probably got to be some hope and stuff in there, too. Dignity.
More compassion. And
compassion.
You see what it says under the healing in little tiny letters? Love, Jill.
Oh, okay. So this is a Jill Biden thing. I try not to be angry about everything all the time, but, and, you know, family, love, whatever, but we have spoken more about compassion and unity and kindness and healing. And the other one we talk about all the time, dignity. Everyone needs to be treated. Yeah. We've treated less people with dignity since we started talking about dignity in
Absolutely.
This country. When I was growing up, you'd talk about dignity in terms of like, well, your friend's grandma, you know, like it was an elderly thing. Like it needs to be treated with some dignity or whatever. We didn't
growing
really.
Up with dignity.
It's like the more we speak the word treat and dignity, the more we say dignity, the shittier we are with every human being. It's a direct correlation. It's like you didn't need to say dignity back in the day. It was like, that's your neighbor or that's someone's parent or that's someone's grandparent. No one had to coach anyone up. We do more fucking talk about healing and dignity and respect. And I need to be treated. Fuck you and your dignity and fuck you and your respect. Get on with your fucking life. It's like, I've always said that since we've started the sexual harassment symposiums that every fucking company that has more than 3.5 employees has to have now, you have to have someone come in and talk to you about sexual harassment. Sexual harassment lawsuits have gone up 8,000% since they began.
Because they give you amazing ideas.
Right.
I didn't know I could sue for that.
Right.
It's almost like when the DARE officer was like, don't smoke pot, okay? This thing's going to make your cookies taste like, I mean, I don't know if you guys have had pussy yet, but it's like that with chocolate chips. And you're like, what? So
thing?
Don't do it? I think that meant do it.
Inappropriate DARE officer is Adam's new character on the show.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
I have a question, inappropriate.
Well, you know, I was a DARE officer.
Oh,
I played a DARE officer. Yeah, well, I don't want to say that it was, you know, I know you have Pacino on and he's been in obviously a lot of great movies, yada, 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 gay cop. We've all been there, done that. But, you know, I played a DARE officer in a Disney spinoff movie, okay, called I Dare You to Do That. And it was basically an after school special, but it was like mockumentary. So like the kids didn't know I wasn't a real DARE officer. They thought I was Officer Hooper. So I'm going in there being like, guys, cocaine is awesome. I have some. If you want it, you can do it. But that being said, if you get fucked up and you steal somebody's car, I'm not going to bail you out of jail. And these kids, you know, the director would go, cut, Tony, that's not the lines. Quit improvising. I go, yeah, fuck you. But this is, what was the question?
inappropriate DARE officer.
That
a statement.
Look, I think I base my own life experiences off real people. My DARE officer at Brooklyn Elementary back in New York would always say, Tony, look, drugs are fun. And I know that you do them. And I know that you love them. And I have them. And we can do them together. But it's really about everything in moderation. And if you drink, you're going to smoke. If you smoke, you're going to choke somebody. If you choke somebody, you're going to probably do an 8-ball off that person's neck. So I guess the point I'm trying to say is, what was the question?
So let me make this observation. You're at a hotel in Seattle, right, Adam?
Yeah.
You're in a sort of conference room. You're not in your hotel room.
I'm in a, it's actually titled... See, now here's an interesting guy right here. This guy just walked right by me real quick.
Saw him.
With his mask down, picking his nose and coughing. He's by himself outside.
So you're in an environment, not in your room in a hotel, but in a common area.
It's actually called, I've never seen this labeled on any hotel, the complimentary breakfast room.
Right.
And now, and they're not doing that. So the room's closed.
Somewhere within earshot of Al Pacino and Tony Danza and Dr. Phil is a middle-aged Guatemalan woman who's in the back, and she's pushing a mop somewhere.
Yeah.
Do you think she knows you're doing Al Pacino, Which one, if we were to bet, which one she could call? You know, the 53-year-old Guatemalan woman who's pushing the mop, who's 20 feet away, but clearly hears something's going on inside of this breakfast establishment. I got to go with Dr. Phil. I got to go with Phil.
Me too.
You think that's who she recognizes?
Because when she when her shift moves and she's not working days, you know, he's on the boob tube.
Right. Yeah, she's probably.
So you're saying so the moment that I catch someone trying to break in during this pod is going to be when Phil pops up and she hears that, drops the mop, drops the coffee, comes in here, breaks in. She's probably got a key and then does what? Now, does she have enough wherewithal to know that? That it's a filter on my face, or does she just hear the voice and go, wow, he looks different live?
I think she's gonna know, she's not gonna know the filter, but she'll know the Phil. The Pacino, the only outside chance with the Pacino is she may have cruising on Laserdisc. And in the Guatemalan community, that's a huge movie.
They have
right. Very possible.
So could be it. All right. We got Rotten Tomatoes to play. Also, Gary, look up the movie for the Rotten Tomatoes. I think it was Prisoners. I don't know if you guys saw that movie. I watched it last night with my son. Hugh Jackman stars. Interesting movie. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other. How about you bundle, man? You take your homeowner's or your renter's insurance and you bundle it up with your automotive policy and you save a bunch of money. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save. Geico makes it so easy to save when you bundle. So go to geico.com today and figure out just how much you could be saving when you bundle at geico.com. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. We'll be back with the Rotten Tomatoes game right after this. Valentine's Day in Hell, the second iteration of Audio Up's In Hell franchise. First, Halloween in Hell, most downloaded scripted musical podcast of all time, features a spooky holiday story with brand new music from today's biggest hit makers and social media stars. Stars me as the devil, yours truly, Adam Carolla, centers on the pressures and expectations of Valentine's Day with a satirical view of social media influencers, hype houses, and 80s and 90s teen horror flicks. Listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Valentine's Day in Hell. Check it out.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.